This is Jay Sekulow protecting America's schools.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We're going to do something about this horrible situation that's going on. We're going to all figure it out together. We're going to have a very serious talk about what's going on with school safety.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I really believe that if these cowards knew that the school was, you know, well guarded from the standpoint of having pretty much professionals with great training, I think they wouldn't go into the school to start off with. I think it could very well solve your problem.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the president had an open forum yesterday. There was also a CNN forum last night that Senator Rubio and Senator Nelson participated in. And there's also been a development that came out actually last week, but we're just bringing up now, and that is the Judiciary Committee has sent a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray regarding the FBI's malfeasance, basically, as to the information that should have been shared with the Miami field office that was not, that could have prevented this act. So the question here is, how do we protect America's schools? And we'll start with this proposition. There's a lot of discussion right now about gun control and other issues regulating weaponry. Those debates will happen. Those discussions can happen. But right now the issue is, how do you protect the what appears to be, and I hate even saying this phrase, but appears to be a target, and the schools appear to be a target. And so what's the immediate effect of what you can do to protect the target, harden the target? Why is it easier to get in a school, say, than the airport? And you have to start asking yourself those kind of questions. In this particular case in Florida, though, let's be clear on this, that the FBI made a gigantic mistake, and people should be held responsible for this. And I'm not afraid to say that on this broadcast. They had the information, as to who the shooter was, what his capability was, what his mental state was, where he was located, and that he planned on doing a school shooting. And they got it twice. And they let it fall through the cracks, as they say, twice. Those are not acceptable answers. So do I lay responsibility on the FBI intake officials? Sure, absolutely. And I think we're kidding ourselves if we think that this was just a question of you could have legislated this away. There was a system in place and the system failed. This was an institutional failure at the FBI. And I'm again, not being derogative to any particular agent, but I will tell you this. Whoever was running that call center operation, the PAL line as it's called, public access line, whoever took that call, whoever was supervising that, the supervisory agent on the team that did not get that information down to Miami, they should be fired, not looked at. And I think you've got to realize that you've got a situation right now with these school shootings that the target is the school facility. It's got to be hardened. So that's the way I look at it. And the Department of Justice has had a huge failure, and they should be held responsible for it. And I'm glad that the Judiciary Committee is asking questions.
The FBI had an opportunity to stop this attack, and it failed to do so. I mean, that's just the bottom line truth. In every attack and every crime, that's not the case. In every terror attack, that's not the case. In every mass shooting, that's not necessarily the case. But in this situation, and we've seen it before, the FBI had plenty of information to stop this attack. Those 17 kids and the adults there are dead because the FBI failed to do its job. Let's all be honest about that. The FBI failed to prevent this attack. They had the information necessary. They did not just need to be in a responsive role, but they could have been the offensive role that then defended the school from this attack. They had all the info necessary, who it was, what school it would be, where they lived, their name, twice, yep, as late as January.
Yep. All right, we're going to take calls and comments, Logan, when we come back from break.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us online, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope and Twitter, @JaySekulow. But again, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us at everything you need on ACLJ.org.
You know, the states have a role to play in this, too, and so do the governors. If there is a situation where you do not think you're getting adequate federal support, I mean, there are state National Guards. I mean, they've been used at schools before, recall, in our history. And if we're at that situation, then the governors need to be thinking about that. All right, we'll take calls when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. Obviously, everyone's talking about what do we do to protect our nation's schools. And I think that's a fair question to ask. And this was an FBI failure, though. I keep saying that, but it was. And it's not being critical. It's being factual. And the facts are that the FBI had this information, and for whatever reason, they didn't act on it. And then they got the information twice, and the second time they got it, it was very specific. And they did nothing with it. It didn't go from the call center to the field office. I don't know how you explain that. Chris Wray is the FBI director. I have no idea how you think that's okay. And it certainly doesn't answer the 17 family members or 17 young people and coaches and staff of that school that were killed. And we got to figure out how to harden that target. As I said in the first segment of the broadcast, I mean, it's much easier to get into a public school than it is to get into an airport. And that's just not right. Those are our kids in there. And we've got to figure that out. States also, look, if a state governor thinks there's a problem, if it's a significant enough problem and they don't think there's a ready response, because all the talk with gun control and all of that, which you could have those debates. I'm fine with that. I understand that. That's not going to fix the problem today. What fixes the problem right now? What stops the problem right now? Well, the FBI has to figure out why they messed up. That was one problem. That's happened. I think we documented five times in the last couple of years where that's been an issue. So that's unacceptable. And then you have the situation where if the governors think they need extra security on the schools, And if it's that big of a situation, we think we have that big of a crisis, they have authority to pull out the National Guard. That's the authority of a state governor. They can nationalize it too. I don't see that necessary. But I mean, if we think there is this kind of difficulty with our systems not working properly, maybe that's what you do. They've been called out to protect schools before or to allow students to have entry into schools before in the 1950s and 60s during the desegregation cases. And so there's a legal precedent for that. I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm not saying you have to do it, but I'm just saying something here has to be done.
Well, we can get people's thoughts on it. They can give us a call and put it in the comments. Would you be okay with the National Guard, the State Guards?
At least for a temporary basis.
For the rest of the year, or maybe for the following year as well, for the next year and a half, securing our nation's schools. We're talking, you know, K-12, bringing in State and National Guard working together. They may need to be federalized in some instances. Would ultimately the first choice to be up to the states? I can't imagine one state doing it and the other not. That would be politically, I think, but too much of a risk. But you can federalize it if the states were balking too much and the people wanted it. Well, how would you feel about that? I mean, so that means your child would be going to a school where there would be what appeared to be a military force there on campus. Are we at a point now where that would make you feel better than just an armed guard.
Logan, what do you think? I'm going to be curious to see what the reaction of our audience is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that it's not a bad idea. I think that people would feel at least safety. Like I said, maybe for the remainder of the school year, do something that's temporary just for people's sanity for the next few months. I mean, that's really what it is. It's not only for the fact of security of your kids, also for the sanity of the parents.
Yeah. And keep them secure. All right, we're going to take calls at 800-684-31. Tell me, ask something to Andy first. We talked a lot yesterday. We worked on it last night. That the target has to be hardened. And you used the example of it's easier to get into a school than it is to an airport.
That's right. It is. And you can walk up to a school. Well, most schools today. I mean, and those who are not don't have the security. But think about going into an airport. You can't carry the gun into the airport. You go through a magnetometer. You have to take off your shoes and your coat. You have to walk through a device that scans you. All your personal belongings have to be put through a scanning machine that has to be looked at. You can't take toothpaste of a certain variety. You can't take water, things of that nature. You can't get on an airplane without showing an identification card. In other words, you can fly with great difficulty in the United States today, but getting into a public school or any school for that matter is comparatively easy. That should not be the case when we have people such as Cruz and his the ilk that he is part of, being able to come in and to literally mow down. With this weapon, yep, the children in the school. We've got to protect the schools, and we've got to make them, if it's necessary, if it's necessary to make them fortresses, at least temporarily, to get this problem under control, do so.
Is that okay? We're saying that the FBI made a huge mistake here and is responsible for this.
Yeah, we're saying directly the FBI is responsible for this mass shooting. They failed because they had the intel twice. The first time it was not as direct. I mean, they had a name. They had a comment saying, I want to be a school shooter. It was not in the same state, but they had the name to track down. They had plenty of time because that came in the fall. Then they had a very specific threat in January come into their call line that never even made it to their office. That threat basically said it all. That person could have been surveilled and likely apprehended based off their conduct before this event occurred, or watched so closely that once they got close to that school, they were arrested. Instead, they could have been, the FBI could have set up a sting operation. I mean, a number of things could have been done. None of that happened. The FBI is responsible for allowing this shooting to occur. That is a strong statement, yep, to make. In most situations, you would not make that because they've told us how much evidence and information they had that they didn't use and utilize. And because of that, it is the FBI's responsibility that this occurred.
Especially when they're the ones that are saying, if you see something, say something, and then they didn't, yeah, and people did, and they didn't do anything. And Chris Ray's answers to this so far, Than, have been just, I mean, we're researching it.
Yeah, terrible, Jay. I mean, one of the questions, maybe the question we get the most commonly on this broadcast is, how can we help? What can we as American citizens to do? Well, ever since 2012, the FBI has been telling them to call this tip line. So the American people did exactly what the FBI told them to do. They gave them the accurate information. Then they did not follow their policy procedure. Jay, Director Ray is going to answer that question in front of the committee, but I suspect that based on his previous answers, it's going to involve something along the lines defending his agents and saying he needed more information. He didn't need more information, Jay. He did exactly, the American people did exactly what the FBI told them to do. He had the information, the policy was not followed, and at the very least, the people who did not pass that along should be gone from their job. We have no indication they are, Jay.
Yeah. Again, with the one who took the call a supervising agent who did not release it, they need to be held accountable. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take a phone call here.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to Matthew in Sacramento, California.
Hi, Matthew. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Good.
I just had a quick comment that I believe that the nation has failed since Columbine. I believe, yep, this whole situation should have been handled a long time ago.
No, I think, unfortunately, Columbine, Sandy Hook, we had the shootings in the 90s. I think it was in Kentucky. I mean, there have been a series of these, and there's been a lot of them in the last year, and there's just something not right in the system. And I understand all that discussion on the gun control debate yesterday, which is, you could argue both sides. I understand that, and people are strong Second Amendment people, and others are saying you should, get rid of these weapons. Would not have stopped this incident. The problem with this incident was the FBI could have stopped it, and they've completely failed. And
yeah, it's like we've upped the ability to identify these individuals post-Columbine with terrorism. So I think combine the mass shooting epidemic in America, the terrorism issue that we face in America. So we have these opportunities where we can directly contact not just local but federal law enforcement officials who have the resources to track down these threats. We can do so anonymously so we don't feel like we're turning somebody in and it's going to be, you know, retribution against us if we're wrong, because it's see something, say something. Doesn't mean you always have to be accurate or 100% right. The hope is that you're not, right? I mean, the hope is that most of the time you're not. But if the FBI is not treating these as serious, or they're not even providing the information. And that call that came in January, I mean, provided so many statistics, got the weapons, keeps talking about killing people, says he wants to go to the school to do it. They know what they have the name. They know where he got kicked out of school. All of this information, they know where he lived. It never even made it to the agents on the ground, the FBI responsible for this shooting. So what do we do next? And I do believe if we have the resources to put the guard at our schools, our nation's schools, we do so as quickly as possible. Because let me tell you, put a Humvee in the parking lot and a few of those heavily armed, well-trained guardsmen and women out in those schools, and there will be no more school shootings.
Andy?
I endorse what Jordan said entirely. As I said yesterday, the job of government is to at least do two things: protect us and defend us, and deliver the mail. Those are the things that we expect of the government to do. And if it's necessary to arm the National Guard, I remember, Jay, a picture of Governor Wallace standing at the door of the high school or the college. I don't remember where it was. And Nicholas Katzenbach, the attorney general, confronting him. And behind Katzenbach was a whole phalanx of National Guard, because those children were going to get into that school one way or the other. And the order of the federal court desegregating the school was going to be observed. Why can't we do that today? We have a National Guard. Whether the state does it or whether it's nationalized by the president is not the issue. The thing is, we need to do that. That is a resource that's available. The FBI is not doing it and can't do it. Do it.
All right. We're going to take more calls and comments. Very important topic. We'll get your calls and comments when we come back from the
break. Right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments online. It's on Facebook. That's at Facebook Live. We're broadcasting Facebook.com/JSeculo. Periscope and Twitter at JSeculo. Broadcasting live as well for the remainder of the hour. So again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want your voice heard.
So, again, we want your comments on all of this, and we want to hear from you. So get those comments into Logan on Facebook and Periscope. And also, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed now. We'll get through some calls in the next segment and open some of those lines up. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right to the phones. Again, we're talking about how do you protect America's schools. Got to harden the targets. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Maryland. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the broadcast again. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jordan, Jay, and also Logan? I wanted to ask you all, what could the FBI have done specifically a lot more differently in this situation, particularly coordinating the information that they received from the call center from PAW with the field office down in the state of Florida, given all the specificity of information they received about the name of the shooter, him wanting to, you know, commit crimes and things like that?
Robert, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, what we're hearing, what the FBI has said is that the information never went from the PAL office, which is the call center, to the field office in Miami. I mean, that fundamentally, it's like the information came in, and this is considered high priority when it is someone that's threatening life or limb. So someone that's threatening an attack or someone threatening to kill people, that's the highest priority. The supervisory agent is at the call center. These are FBI employees. These are phone analysts. They're making a threat assessment. Here you had a credible threat with an individual that they could have done a database check on right there.
Right.
Would have found out he had 39 visits by the police officials, had all these problems. That information could have been transmitted down to the Miami field office literally with the touch of a button, and it didn't happen. So it was a complete 100% failure by the FBI.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Unfortunately, that's how simple the error has been presented by the FBI. It was not like some glitches or it went through one person to another person but didn't get to the third person. It's supposed to go, as they explain in their call center videos, the PAL center videos, it's supposed to go right to the field office. And based off this threat, you had a name, a person, it was imminent. Yep. They were told it had weapons. They were told what the target would be. They knew where the person lived, so that limits the targets then schools into the area. They knew where this person attended school, kicked out of school. If that information was provided to that Miami field office, I have faith that that Miami field office would have been able to prevent this attack. So when I say the FBI failed to do this, it's not the field office necessarily. It was something in this instance, either at the call center specifically, either human error, or there's a problem with how this is prioritized from up top.
Which means, again, these are the institutional issues within, Andy, the FBI itself failing, but in such a dramatic and horrific way.
Well, I hate to say this, and I was in the government for 5 years in the United States Attorney's Office in the Northern District of Georgia. This is not the FBI that I knew, Jay. This is not the FBI that I knew. Chris Wray, if you're listening, listen real carefully. This is a shame. Shame on you. You are the director of the FBI. You were in command. You were at the top of this. You need to do something about this. And if it takes stepping aside because you cannot do so or because you failed to do so, when there were these horrific warnings, I am going to be a professional school shooter. I want to shoot people with my AR-15. Listen, Chris, I want to die fighting people, ton of people. I'm going to kill law enforcement one day. They go after the people. These are cognizable, clear threats, Chris Wray. Listen.
Yeah, this was, by the way, Andy was reading from the letter from Grassley, Senator Grassley, to Chris Wray. Let's go ahead and take another call. Nancy's calling from Queens, line two. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, hello, Jay. How are you?
Good.
I was calling because I live in Queens, New York, and a lot of the schools that have metal detectors and also guards from the NYPD within each and every school in this city. And you know what? We haven't had any mass shootings of students in New York City schools.
Well, it goes back to our, and thank you for calling in, Nancy. It goes back to what we said about the airports. I mean, I think we need to model the schools like the airports. I don't think that's Jordan, we talked about the hardening the target. I mean, if the schools are the target, as the airports have been the target and are the targets, you harden the target. That's part of law enforcement too. And that makes perfect sense. And Nancy is giving a real life example of what they do in the borough of Queens in New York, where they have metal detectors and NYPD officers armed patrolling the schools inside and out.
Yes, and so, and that's, we've seen that before in areas that have experienced not these kind of, and again, she's right, there haven't been mass shootings, but where there was more criminal conduct too on campuses and schools, that the schools themselves and the school districts themselves have worked with local police. I think what we're seeing at these mass shootings, though, it's typically not in these areas. It's not in the areas where people felt like they needed this kind of security, where they had experienced high crime. You had, like in this situation, one bad actor who got kicked out of a school. It was not a school that was having violent crime problems, you know?
Right.
And so because of that, they're not assessing it the same way as maybe a tougher school district in Queens, to be just quite honest, with tougher kids and maybe coming out of tougher environments. So I think that's why you look at that guard option, because let me tell you something. NYPD, and this is nothing against Fort Lauderdale, but NYPD is a lot different than a lot of local police departments being able to secure this. They are used to preparing for mass shooting, mass terror events. Because of that, they're kind of similar to when you see them on the streets of New York. They're in camo, sometimes armed with machine guns. So they, I think, are prepared. Not all police departments are, which is why the guard, I think, has to be one of those options, here. Like Than said.
Yeah, I mean, we're just look. I mean, private. There's a good point made here. Private schools will do a big selling point on the privacy, the protection rather that they offer, the security protections that they offer. So that is something that happens all the time. So that's a normal thing that happens all of the time. And I think when you realize that if they're promoting their security, it tells you that the public schools that may not have the funds right now, we've got to figure out how to do it. And I think that's why, you know, the president's having meetings right now with the law enforcement and specialists, state and local officials on this situation. And I thought the forum they did at the White House yesterday was very, very good. Do we have time for a call, Logan, 2 minutes to go here, do you think?
I think so. We have to keep the response a little bit shorter. Let's go to Eric, though, in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Eric, go ahead. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, hello.
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I listened to this debate, and I'm from a rural area in actually Michigan, and I listened to the debate, and I think you're missing the root cause. You're really debating all the effects of what's going on, and I think it's a societal issue. If you look at the video games that children play today, whether they're 15 to 21, and these video games were actually used to train the Green Beret back in the 70s. And we wonder why we've got a society that accepts this type of violence and doesn't do anything about it.
Looking at what's called a long-term cultural norms that need to be addressed. So that's a long-term thing. We've got a short-term problem right now. And that's what we're focusing on the broadcast. I appreciate the call, Eric, but we've got a short-term protecting America's schools, like tonight. How are we doing it today?
I mean, and I strongly disagree because there's always been horror movies, and most people don't go out and commit those kind of crimes.
Right.
There's always been there are those copycat issues. Those are singular issues. There have been violent video games for a long time, and guess what? 99.99% of the people that play them would never carry out those kind of attacks before. So I think that, again, there's cultural issues, certainly, to look at here, and how to identify the people, how to treat them, and how to handle it, society. So I'm not trying to dismiss morality. What I'm saying is that is not going to solve this immediate problem.
Logan, you tend to take the same view.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you start banning, you know, works of art, essentially, you start running into a big issue. That's not what this is. This is a small percentage. I mean, almost unmathematically percentage of people that play a video game, you'd say, and do something like this. So it can't be that far.
All right. We're here for another 30 minutes. Logan will let you know how you get the next half hour of the broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. You can join us online, facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, and Twitter @JSeculo. Broadcasting live for an additional half hour. If you don't get us on your local station, you can find us there. Also on the ACLJ app and ACLJ.org, archived on the app and on the JSeculo podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes. We're right back with more. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Connecting America's Schools. That's what we're looking at today. Real solutions to this problem. And we've been studying this since the shooting began. And I know there's a lot of discussions about gun control and what that can do. And the fact of the matter is, whatever gun control can or cannot do, it's not doing it today. Because whatever you put in place is not something that's going to be resolved today. Our director of policy is here, Harry Hutchinson, Professor Hutchinson. So, Harry, what's your kind of assessment of where, from an immediate perspective, what needs to be done?
Well, first, Jay, we need to harden the target. At the ACLJ, we've looked at a number of proposals, but the number one issue is that we should protect Americans' schools and school children. That should be our immediate priority, and we should not wait for longer-term solutions. So we need to consider, for instance, bringing out or calling out the National Guard. We need also to consider, perhaps, arming school teachers. There are some risks associated with that proposal, but there are some advantages as well.
Yeah, the teacher situation came up yesterday in some of the discussions. And I know there's a lot of different views on that. But there's also one of the parents that spoke, very emotional. I want to play that. Andrew Pollack, his daughter was killed. Here's what he said needs to happen.
It stops. We all work together and come up with the right idea, and it's school safety. It's not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle. Let's fix the schools, and then you guys can battle it out whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew that, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous.
So I think that Mr. Pollack is right, that we've got to have solutions today. And, I mean, we put out some if the FBI cannot handle this and local law enforcement's feeling overwhelmed, then, my goodness, governor of your state, call out the National Guard to protect the schools on an interim basis until you figure it out. That's why we have National Guards. Because by the time you get these legislative fix, and I don't know, Fan, is anything going to happen legislatively here of significance?
I think there will be a bill, Jay, but it's not going to harden targets. I mean, that is at its root a state issue. So states and local jurisdictions are going to have to come to the table. And let me say this. The solution in Queens, like we heard from the caller, is probably different than the solution in the middle of Kansas. So your point about local jurisdictions saying, we know how to do this, but we need resources, that's the connectivity that has to happen. And, Jay, I think the president's doing the right thing by having governors there. The governor sure better be talking to the school boards, because if that dialogue's not happening, that district in the middle of Kansas, they might have a solution and not have the resources, and it will never trickle down to them unless they're talking.
And a solution that works in Kansas may not work in South Florida. So that's correct. Why the local control is very important here.
Though I do think if you went to the broader step of using the guard, that can work everywhere. It can. I mean, if you take the guard into every school district, every state's got it, and you put them in the schools, then that works across the board. Some may not need it because they've already got like NYPD, but I think an across the board solution is that. That actually would work everywhere because that is such a major deterrent, and there are guard people, and there's guard bases all around the country in rural areas and in highly populated areas, and they can be deployed. So because of that, I think, and it's a crisis we're facing, and who among us has faith in our FBI right now? Well, on many fronts.
I could tell you who doesn't, and that's senior counsel of the ACLJ and former U.S. attorney Andy Economo.
I do not, and I regret to say that. I regret it with all my heart to have to say that, but I don't. The warning signals were so apparent, Jay.
Well, they got the evidence. And they threw it away. And I want Chris Whit Ray to answer that question to the parents. You're the head of the FBI. My goodness. What a mistake. Catastrophic failure on an institutional level. And there is no excuse for it. My fear is the people that were involved in it are working at that call center right now, today. And I'm wondering, is the FBI leadership going to make the changes necessary, or are they just going to move these people eventually to different departments? We'll take your calls and comments. We come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Our American's children are at risk here. And back
also,
with more.
Yep. Also, exclusive video coming up in the break if you're watching online. Be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Protecting America's schools. The schools are a target. We've called out directly regarding the FBI. We've talked about the failure there and their responsibility for this one. But that doesn't mean it will be on everyone. And if the target is, in fact, the school, then we need to harden that target. And I'm saying if you got to call out the if the governor of the state, Harry, thinks that they need for additional security personnel, that they don't have the resources right then and there, but they could utilize the National Guard inside or outside the schools or both to protect them while they figure these other things out. That's why we have a National Guard.
Absolutely. And so that could deter immediately future school shooters. So that's something that can be done at the local level. Those National Guardsmen can be placed under the auspices of the governor.
Yep.
But at the federal level, what we need to do is we need accountability, particularly within the FBI. And so we should raise the possibility that even the director should consider standing down because of the FBI's repeated failures and repeated mistakes. But clearly, beyond question, the individual who failed to notify the local field office in Florida needs to face consequences.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Ray Reed at least needs to address this. I mean, you can't stonewall it. I mean, Dan, you can't just not do anything.
Well, look, there are 1,000 field agents in Miami.
Which it sounds like what they're doing. I don't mean to cut you off. But right now, it looks like they get a letter, an incident happened, they issue a ridiculous press release, and then they do nothing.
Yeah, it was buried in another big news day, too, Jay, and it hasn't been addressed since. I've got an issue with that. But I will say this. There are 1,000 field agents in Miami, and I am willing to say on the air, under my reputation, that one of those agents knew who Nicholas Cruz was, Jay. And why do I think that? Because they work with local law enforcement, and local law enforcement had been called out 36 times. So those local field agents who knew who Nicholas Cruz was, if they had received this information when it was called into the tip line, Jay, I am confident it would have been stopped, but it was thrown away instead of sent to the people who knew who this shooter was.
Logan, parents your age, how do you think they would react if the governor of a state of their state said on a temporary basis, we need a, you know, we're going to utilize National Guard to protect our schools? And that means they'll be in camo and they'll be holding weapons, including semi-automatic weapons.
Right. I think there'd be a mixed reaction. I mean, I think most people would be in favor of the concept. And then when they see it, is going to be the questions when you actually have to explain to your kids what's happening, what's going on. But I think that your security goes beyond having to explain to your kids why there's someone there
at the end of
the automatic weapon. Yep. I do think it'd be something that if you said, okay, we're going to do it for the remainder of the school year until we find a better solution, that is something that I think would be more palatable to people.
I'll tell you this.
All right, let's keep it safe for the next 4 months, and then over summer break, we're going to figure this out.
I do remember this, though, because the parent, Mr. Pollock, from Florida, talked about 9/11. I remember right after 9/11, Jordan's going to remember this too, right on the corner of where our apartment was, Humvees, anti-aircraft missile launchers on every corner, National Guard with their
weapons. For an invasion.
Yes.
Ready for an invasion, and that's what these schools would be ready for, is ready for someone to try and invade. Of course, not at the level of necessarily the terror, but also it would protect from that issue as well, because these are soft targets for potential terrorist activities as well. And we know that terror threats will always continue to evolve, and there will be new threats that we face. But so there's that epidemic, which is international terrorism.
Yeah.
And then we have an epidemic domestically here in the United States, I'd say, with this mass shooting issue. And the schools seem to be the target of choice for these individuals because of the lack of security. We are a country where in the major cities there are already this kind of security. At our airports, we already have this kind of security. So why would we not secure the most vulnerable people in our society with this kind of security? And we got it at airports where there's not a lot of kids by themselves, but we don't have it at places where there's lots of kids by themselves.
I want to play Mr. Pollack again. He lost his daughter in this. She's buried at a cemetery in Florida.
The Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed.
He lost a daughter, 14-year-old daughter. He has the right to be angry. And so do we as the American people. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan. We got a lot of calls to get through.
There are a lot of calls. Let's go to Carol, who's in New York on line 4. Thanks for holding, Carol.
Hey, Carol, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I absolutely totally agree with you. I'm the widow of a cop, and I know he would be agreeing as well. But there's one other thing that hasn't been addressed and could happen today. If all of the news media got on the air and said, in any case of any sort of shooting like this, no matter where it is, there'll be no mention of name of the shooter, and there'll be no pictures of the shooter anywhere available. And go from there. So I kind of a battle of the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment, I guess.
Yeah, but also add the First Amendment, because the First Amendment lets the news organization report this information, and sometimes you need that information out there who the shooter is, because the shooter, Harry, is still at large.
Absolutely. So it's often helpful long term if this information gets out there, and we also learn, if the information gets out there, about federal government failures. And so hiding this information from the American people, I think, on balance, is probably not a good idea.
All right, let's go ahead. We're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Jason, North Dakota, line 2.
Hi, Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you very much for discussing this. I'm a father of, I have 5 teenagers, high school and middle school. I don't like the idea of militarizing. I think we're missing the subject here. I really think this is a heart issue. What I've talked to my children is, we need to look for people. I hear stories of all the kids who said they knew it would be this guy. Why weren't the teens trying to reach and include people? We live in a world of talking about self, but we don't look to others and say, if I treated them the way God wants me to, what would God's love do to change the heart of man?
Here's the problem. There's evil in the world, though, also, Jason. And I'm not cutting you off. I want you to continue to talk. But there's evil in the world, and evil people do bad things. And I don't think we can put this on 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds to fix this. So you're concerned about militarizing the schools, and I'm saying they're becoming military zones without any self-defense. And I understand all the heart and soul issues. I get it. But to me, Jason, it doesn't add that, it doesn't address the urgency of right now.
I agree with you. I understand that. But the school that my kids go to, they probably have 5 or 6 different entrances. With, you know, 1,500 students entering.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about a really huge process. And what I'm saying is, and just like you know, there's evil. Evil will find a way no matter what we try to do to prevent it.
Yes, but you know what? We stopped 9/11. Thank the Lord. And the government has done a good job on this. We haven't had another 9/11 in the United States of the magnitude of that because of measures we take.
Now, the airplanes have not been able to take it over.
They can't make them weapons right now. They've tried.
People have tried to use bombs in them. That's different. But people have not been able to overtake the airlines, the aircraft anymore, and fly them into buildings. So that has been prevented. Evil people that would still like to do that, they've had to go to other methods, trying to get explosives in and things like that. And they've been, for the most part, prevented as well by our country. Some countries are a little behind in securing their passengers and their national carriers. But I would say, listen, you're talking about six entrances. I'd say, how about 10 National Guard or something like with machine guns? And Nicholas Cruz doesn't get very far.
And look, I think there are people that reach out to these kids, and there needs to be more of that. I mean, no question that these troubled kids
they do get to a point where they're over the line.
This kid was 19 years old.
Yeah, so they're past that point of any kind of control.
Yeah, you're not in. It's not a parental situation. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. All right, let's take another call or comment.
All right, let's quickly go to James in Ohio.
James, real quick before the break here.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yep. Quick question. So we've seen recently in the news with the fake Russia dossier and the FBI involvement with Clinton and Obama administrations violating laws and then botching this, the FBI botching this shooting in Florida. What steps can be taken, I don't want to say purge, but how can we get clean up or shake up the FBI? Because obviously they're not doing their job.
Well, I mean, let me go to Than here. Than, there's oversight going on right now and a lot of questions being asked, just not a lot of answers being given.
Look, this is my view. I think the seventh floor down the street at the FBI needs to be cleaned out. I just do. You don't know who is credible, who is not. There's been repeated failures on a number of issues, and that includes this one. It wasn't the local field office. It was the seventh floor at the FBI, yep. So you need to clean that out. And, Jay, when there's new leadership at the FBI, the other thing you need to do is give them and the other leadership and the other bureaucracies the ability to fire the career people who mess up in situations like that. It does not exist now, so you need new leadership, and you need to empower them to root out the bad actors when these things happen.
Yeah, there should be three or four people probably from that FBI call center who are no longer on track to get their pension, who have lost their job, who were fired for cause, and will find it difficult to find future employment because of the actions they took. They took a responsibility, not forced to, but they took a job where they had a real responsibility to protect Americans as much as possible. All they had to do was provide the information to the next step. And they never got it in Miami. They never had the chance to even go after Nicholas Cruz with this info because they never even received it. So that call center failure, which is overseen, I'm sure, by an FBI agent, again, should result in at least a handful of people no longer being paid by the U.S. taxpayer.
I agree 100%. All right, Logan, we'll take another break here, and then we're going to take some more calls.
Yeah, we'll take as many calls as we can in the next segment. It's the last segment of the day and of just a Thursday. You can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
broadcast. We're taking your calls 800-684-3110. Last segment, so we got phone lines are jammed. We're just going to try to knock them out one at a time here, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Dennis on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Dennis, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Make this quick. There are millions of honorably discharged American veterans in this country, and most of them are not, you know, there's some with PTSD and other issues. I understand that. But I bet you there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, who could be vetted and would be willing to volunteer for a little or no money, their time, to guard the schools. Put two or three in each school, or more if necessary for size. Most cities do not have the manpower or the money to put an officer or two in each school. Mobile, Alabama, where I worked, there's about 50 schools inside the city limits. Give or take, there's no way that they have enough manpower to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure this. I think the school in Florida, this high school, had a security, what do they call it, a school resource officer? Did they not? I think they did. They had one school resource officer.
Yeah,
that's not enough. So what we're saying, we're looking for immediate fixes. And look, retired military, retired police, that may be all part and parcel of a program. I mean, policy-wise, Harry, as we kind of formulate a policy, that's something that could be incorporated, again, with the right kind of background checks and security checks and insurance issues resolved.
I think that's correct. And so I think as a nation, we can do two things at once. We can come up with immediate short-term solutions. And so, for instance, calling out the National Guard at least through the end of the school year while we formulate longer-term solutions, I think, is a good idea. And so it's important to note that many of these ideas are not incompatible with one another, but some ideas take more time than others to fully implement.
No, I agree. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Lisa in Modesto, California.
Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen.
Yep.
I was wondering if both of the tip calls went into the same call center. And is there anything that we average American people can do to get some of these bureaucrats fired?
Okay, so they did not go into the same – the one was into a local office where the person – the one in September, I think it was Mississippi. Yeah, it was went into Mississippi. They did nothing with it. The one that went into the tip line, identifying the individual with the concern about a school shooting, with the school that he was at, where he lived, went into the what's called the PAL, public access line. And that's the tip line. And the failure there was the failure of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Inability to communicate from the PAL office to the field office to stop this thing. And they could have done it. And it made it's a complete institutional failure. I want people held accountable.
But think about that. So even in the Mississippi example where they had less information, that was not going through a phone line. That was going directly to the FBI office, and they didn't pass it along to Florida. And then you go to the call line, which only job is to pass along tips, and it didn't get passed along. There's no way this tip, based on what the FBI said it, they failed. So we're not having to guess whether or not they analyzed this and said there wasn't enough info here. They said it should have been absolutely given over, and it wasn't. So we don't have to guess what went wrong here. We have been told by the FBI what went wrong. The question is, accountability, that's part one. But part two is this, kids are in school right now. How do you keep them safe?
Yeah, now, today, that's what we're looking at. So I understand all the long-term discussions, but we've got a short-term problem, an immediate problem. All right, let's go grab another call.
All right, Bill in Cheyenne, Wyoming, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, sorry, I went to Ted. Ted, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You know, obviously, it would be very impractical for students, every student to have their backpack checked or examined or x-rayed going into a school. It'd be very expensive to get that type of equipment. So I have a suggestion that I think would be helpful in this regard and would help eliminate one of the possibilities of being able to bring in a concealed weapon. Eliminate backpacks. When I was a kid, we all had book straps.
A lot of schools have done that. This student specifically could not. I don't
think
Nicholas Cruz wasn't allowed to carry a backpack. A lot of schools have these clear bag programs.
He started from the outside, worked his way in.
But what you do, this again, that is for the smaller issues, I think. This when you're coming in with purpose and intent to kill many people, it doesn't matter if you don't allow backpacks or not, because the person's not going to follow the rules. You're talking about people following rules, and so you could certainly look at those issues. They have been implemented by schools that may have cut down on some smaller offenses, lesser offenses, handguns, even so, even bigger things like that. But, you know, also, you know, cigarettes and it banned things from the school. At the same time, if someone's coming in with an assault weapon to kill and you've only got one guard there and six doors, well, they've got a much better percentage of chance of picking a door that has no security.
Here's the question that I ask, because we're talking about on the FBA failure side. I want to go to Than on this. I want to get Andy's comment too. But Than, this is a direct failure of the FBI. And I'm asking the same question that everybody that's listening to this broadcast around the country is asking right now. And that the sense that nothing's going to happen and nothing will change.
Well, tomorrow's the deadline from Senator Grassley, Jay. And I suspect that Director Ray is going to come in and say something other than we messed up. And if he says something other than we messed up and here's the plan to fix it, then I do think he should depart. Because, again, and I think this is the fact that we really need to sit on a federal level. They employ 1,000 individuals who have the power to do something about it. And not a single one of those 1,000, based on the FBI statements, received either of these tips that came in. That is a failure and someone needs to pay the price for it.
Andy?
Jay, I don't know if we really realize how much information the FBI was given with respect to this person. It wasn't just a few little morsels of information that you couldn't put together. This was significant information about a very bad person who had posted photos, including an arsenal of firearms, according to Senator Grassley, across a bed, homemade targets with bullet holes, a bloody toad he claims to have killed, holding knives and firearms, a rifle aimed at a neighbor's residence. He didn't try to conceal his identity. He used his real name in Instagram usernames and posts on YouTube. FBI, where were you? All this information was available to you.
All right, let's take another call.
All right, yeah, quickly, let's go to Bill in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's try him one more time.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Good day. Yes, sir, I've got two things to say. First of all, I do agree with everything that you've brought forward so far. But I'm just wondering if the kids didn't do enough. Maybe they could have gone near where the FBI building was and staged a protest.
They're doing the kids that were they're protesting and showing up. I think they're doing what they think they can do. I don't want to blame the kids. I think they're trying to take some action here. They're kids. And these were 13, 14-year-olds that were killed. 15.
We're talking about complicated. We're talking about nationalizing, bringing in guard. That is not something I'm going to have. 13, 14-year-olds need to be responsible for.
Adults need to be handling this for them to keep them safe. As Andy said, deliver the mail and keep us safe.
They shouldn't have to be protesting. It's very sad that they are having to even do that.
Yep. Can we grab Barry's call, Logan, real quick?
We can try Barry, California, keep it real quick.
Real quick. Go ahead, Barry. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. Let's put the problem where the problem really is. We spend $100 million in California in taxes for schools that go to school boards. School boards are responsible to make sure that our children are protected. How come nobody talks about that? It's a school board.
I know. I think that has to be. I think that's got to be part of the problem here, and part of the solution has to be. And that's why I'm saying what works in Kansas may not work in where you are in California. So that's where the local school boards do have to come in. We're trying to come up with solutions. We're going to continue the dialogue and just continue this, a very important conversation. We'll continue it tomorrow on the broadcast. Logan will let you know how you can stay engaged with us on a whole host of other issues as well.
That's right. You can find everything you need at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You can find that online. You can also join us on all our social media outlets. Follow Jay Sekulow on Twitter, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, ACLJ, Than Bennett. You can find us all over social media. And also, again, download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel store. Just search for ACLJ and subscribe to the podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.